Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Archuleta, Atkins, Bates, Bell, Borges, Bradford, Caballero, Chang, Dodd, Durazo, Galgioni, Glazer, Grove, Hertzberg, Hill, Hueso, Hurtado, Jackson, Jones, Leyva, McGuire, Mitchell, Monning, Morlock, Morrell, Nielsen, Pan, Portantino, Roth, Rubio, Skinner, Stern, Stone, Umberg, Wykowski, Wiener, Wilk.
Colleagues, a quorum is present. Would the members and our guests be on the rail and in the gallery, please rise. We will be led in prayer this morning by our chaplain, Sister Michelle Gorman, after which, please remain standing. We will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag by Senator Monning.
Let us center ourselves in God's presence. God of affection, devotion, and tenderness, we thank you for the myriad ways that we have been touched by your love. Love that draws us to friendship and fidelity. Love that leads us to kindness and compassion. Love that lures us to the sacred and serene. Love that calls us to new vision and evolution. Love that sees the value of each human being. Source of all love, we thank you for abiding in our hearts. You, the one great heart of our universe, holding us all in the mystery of your presence. Amen. To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't see Senator Umberg here. Senator Wilk is here. All right, very good. Privileges of the floor. Colleagues, we are at privileges of the floor. I believe, Senator Wilk, you have a presentation at the pro tem's desk. If we would all please give our attention to Senator Wilk at the pro tem's desk. Senator Wilk, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Today, you will notice up at the dais, we are flying the flag of Armenia. This morning to honor the Consul General of Armenia that resides in Los Angeles. Ambassador Armin Baybutian started his tenure as Consul General in September of last year. Prior to this posting, he taught political science at the University of Massachusetts Amherst and at Yerevan State University, and served in various capacities in Armenia's Foreign Service, including an appointment as ambassador to India, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and Indonesia. Armenia was one of the first republics to break away from the Soviet Union in the early 1990s, and he was the very first diplomat to serve as Consul General in Los Angeles from 1995 to 1997. So we are pleased to welcome him back. In addition to his current consular responsibilities, he also serves as a senior advisor to the Princeton Foundation for Peace and Learning, as a member of the UN Association of the U.S., and as a board member of the Global Research Forum on Diaspora and Transnationalism in New Delhi. In recent years, Armenia is gaining a reputation as an information and technology hub. Like California, the Armenian IT sector is crucial for the well-being of their economy. As their burgeoning high-tech economy matures, California and Armenia have the opportunity to develop further mutually beneficial relationships. While the upheavals of the 20th century have brought most of the Armenian American community to this country, the first Armenian in America was actually Martin the Armenian, who immigrated to the colony of Virginia in 1618. Ever since, Armenians have been an integral part of our national community. As you may know, Los Angeles is home to the largest Armenian community outside of Armenia. In fact, 40% of the Armenian diaspora in the United States resides in Southern California. However, the Armenian community is not just limited to Southern California. In fact, Fresno has been home to a substantial number of Armenians since the late 19th century. Armenians have contributed richly to almost every aspect of Californian life, particularly politics, most notably Governor George Duke Majdan, who served two terms as governor from 1983 to 1991. I'd like to extend my best wishes for Ambassador Baybutyan and his renewed tenure here in California. I, along with I'm sure all of you, look forward to working with him and to nurture the goodwill and friendship that exists between California and Armenia. Please join me in a warm welcome of our distinguished guest, Dr. Armen Baybutyan.
A very warm Senate welcome to our very honored guest. Senator Stern, on this item.
Just a very brief, warm congratulations, Will, adding on to my senator from Santa Clarita. And took a trip to Armenia over the fall, and an incredibly vibrant democracy over there led a velvet revolution that was bloodless and driven by young people and entrepreneurs and technology, and especially women. About 35% of their tech workforce is women. We have room to make up in that regard, about 3% of ours. So to their leadership, thank you.
We have much to learn. Are there any other privileges of the floor? Seeing none, messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read, and amendments adopted. Under motions, resolutions, and notices, without objection, the Senate journals for February 11th through the 15th, 2019, will be approved as corrected by the minute clerk. Senator Umberg, under motions, resolutions, and notices.
Thank you, Madam President. I request to move item number 2, SCR 7, to the inactive file. Thank you.
Thank you. That will be noted. Under introductions and first readings of bills, Secretary, please read.
Senate Bill 304, 305, 306, and Senate Bill 307.
Under consideration of the daily file, under the second reading file, Mr. Secretary, please read.
Senate Resolution 16.
Second reading is deemed completed. We will return, colleagues, to motions and resolutions. This is the time to adjourn in memory. Under adjourn in memory, are there any? We have Senator Stone. Colleagues, we are at the point of adjourning in memory. Please give your attention to Senator Stone.
Thank you, Madam President, and good morning, members. I rise today to ask you in joining me in adjourning the memory of Eric Donahue, a young man in the prime of his life who sadly became the latest victim of the heroin crisis, killing thousands of people every single year. In fact, over 70,000 people in the United States died of drug overdoses, more than we lost in the Vietnam War. Eric was just 28 years old. In 2002, he moved to Temecula with his family and became a star athlete playing water polo. He was also an academic All-American and ended up graduating from Cal Lutheran University. Sadly, drugs took hold of Eric, but for a while he was able to clean up and eventually became a house manager in St. Paul's Sober Living Center in Colorado and served as an AA sponsor. But like thousands of other people addicted to heroin, he fell back into the jaws of the monster that has destroyed the lives of thousands of people. Our kids need to know that heroin is the most addictive drug out there. It only takes one time, one hit, to become addicted. And we need to really go after the drug pushers and dealers who steal our children away from the world. Eric's death should be a reminder to all of us that we need to do more to keep heroin and fentanyl off the streets. Thank you, members, for allowing me to adjourn in the memory of a young man who was killed too soon. I'm hoping that we all remember that we have the power to do more to stop this evil drug from destroying young lives. I hope we have the resolve to take action. Doing nothing is an insult, not just to Eric Donahue, but it is an insult to the thousands of people who needlessly die because of the dealers who sell this dangerous drug to our children. Thank you for allowing me to adjourn in his memory.
Thank you, Senator Stone. And if you would please bring his name forward so we can properly memorialize him, and of course, condolences to his family. Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Madam President. Today I rise to adjourn in memory of a great individual, Dr. Michelle King, who was the first African-American woman to lead Los Angeles Unified School District. On February 2nd, Dr. Michelle King lost her courageous battle to cancer at the tender age of 57. Dr. King was born on March 9th, 1961 to professional parents who were both part of a proud, aspiring black middle class in the city of Los Angeles, where many minority families were not doing well. It was assumed and expected you would go to college, King told the Times in a recent interview. My father looked at my report cards daily. We were taught to respect our teachers and that we would get good grades. She attended LA Unified School District, including Palisades High School, where she was a top student and a cheerleader and one of few African-American students in that student body, where mainly the student body was wealthy and white. Dr. King held a bachelor's of science degree in biology from UCLA, a master's in administration from Pepperdine University, and a doctorate of education from USC. And she also received an honorary doctorate of humane letters from Pepperdine University and Loyola Marymount University. After attending UCLA, her first teaching assignment was in the San Fernando Valley. She moved through teaching jobs at Porter Junior High School and Wright Middle School while shepherding her own three daughters through the school system. The first time King was offered a principal's job at Hamilton High School, she turned it down. When she was finally took the job in 2002, after being promoted from vice principal, the entire faculty greeted her with a standing ovation. King did not disappoint, pulling together a campus torn by discord. After she took charge, Hamilton test scores surged well past annual improvement targets. As deputy superintendent under Superintendent John Dacey in 2014, she firmly led the emergency operations after a fatal crash killed five students hundreds of miles away in Northern California. Her selection to superintendent was widely popular among the district's rank and file. She often stated, as the first African-American female superintendent, I'm able to send a clear personal message to students that no matter who you are and where you come from, you should dream without limits. If you study and you work hard, you can achieve those dreams. She clearly proved that. And while Dr. Michelle King never had a chance to leave her mark as a superintendent, we know that she exceeded expectations in every step of her life. Some of the many accomplishments was the Hall of Fame, African American Hall of Fame in 2007 for outstanding achievement in education from a Los Angeles City Hall celebration, the recipient of the YWCA's Phenomenal Women Awards, recognizing top female executives in Southern California. She was featured in Essence Magazine and in 2017 named National Superintendent of the Year by the National Association of Schools, and she was honored by UCLA with the Edward A. Dixon Alumnus Year Award, joining such luminaries as John Wooden, Yvonne Breathwaite Burke, and Arthur Ashe. King is survived by her three daughters, her parents, and her brother. I humbly ask that we adjourn in memory of Dr. Michelle King, a true trailblazer and a collaborative and innovative leader who broke down barriers to create more equitable opportunities in education for every student. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. On this adjourn in memory, Senator Mitchell.
Thank you very much, Madam President. I, too, join my colleague from Gardena in asking that we adjourn in memory of Dr. King. Michelle saw that Even when girls display an interest in STEM careers, these dreams are often discouraged or forgotten over time due to lack of support or exposure to STEM role models and resources. And so she pushed very hard for the first all-girls LAUSD school, the Girls Academic Leadership Academy, known as GALA. She knew that girls' schools graduate girls at 30% a higher rate than co-ed schools, send their graduates to college at a 50% higher rate, and produce graduates 6 times more likely to go into STEM college programs. And so she helped give the girls at GALA a better chance at achieving their dreams. In honor of Michelle's hard work and leadership, GALA has now been renamed the Girls Academic Leadership Academy, Dr. Michelle King School of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Michelle believes strongly that a student's gender, race, or zip code should not determine their future. When she was considering a program or policy, her priority always was, will this help kids learn? As the first African-American woman to serve as LAUSD superintendent, she knew that her responsibility was not a small one, and she worked hard to ensure that she left a lasting legacy. She was a mentor and friend to students, colleagues, and parents, and she will be remembered as an incredible educator. We ask that you adjourn in her memory.
Thank you, Senator Mitchell. And of course, the people of Los Angeles and the whole state have lost a great champion. Any other adjourn in memories with respect to this Dr. King reference here, the adjourn in memory? Seeing none, please make sure that we are able to properly memorialize her memory by making sure we have her name brought forth to the desk. With that, we're going to briefly go back to privileges of the floor. Senator Pham.
Thank you, Madam President. Senators, I just want to hopefully everyone can give a warm Senate welcome to Lily Martinez, who's the daughter of one of my staff people who's coming in to work today with her mother.
A warm welcome.
Say hi.
To the next generation of leaders of California. Thank you, Senator Pham. Going back now to motions and resolutions, adjourn in memory, I believe Senator Atkins. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I rise to adjourn in memory of Dr. Walter Monk of San Diego, who passed away on February 8th at the young age of 101. Dr. Monk was a brilliant, kind-hearted man and one of the most influential geophysicists and oceanographers of the 20th century. Born in Vienna, Austria in 1917, he came to the United States at 14 years of age to work as a bank runner in New York City. But to America's great fortune, he soon realized that finance was not his passion, and he set out for the Golden State to pursue a degree in physics at the California Institute of Technology. He became a U.S. citizen in 1939, and that same year applied for a summer job at Scripps Institution of Oceanography, at the time a little-known organization, and the rest really is history. Seeing the rise of fascism across Europe and the rising tensions that would soon draw the nation into war, he enlisted in the U.S. Army, serving in the 146th Field Artillery, 41st Division at Fort Lewis, Washington. But 1 week before the attack on Pearl Harbor, he was recalled from his unit to serve his country at the U.S. Navy Radio and Sound Laboratory in San Diego in the neighborhood of Point Loma. Now, from that lab, he did more for the U.S. war effort than one soldier ever could have managed on the battlefield. And this is a great story. He humbly rejected the comparison. He's often referred to as the Einstein of the oceans, and that's the type of impact he made with his research. He fundamentally redefined our understanding of oceans, pioneering new methods to measure and forecast ocean currents, tides, and temperatures. Among his many accomplishments, he's credited with saving the lives of thousands of American soldiers and Marines during World War II by accurately predicting the intensity of the ocean tides, allowing safe landings for our Allied forces during the D-Day invasion of Normandy, and lending his expertise to the U.S. Navy to counter German submarine attacks. After the war, Dr. Monk returned to California and earned a doctorate of oceanography at UCLA. Dr. Monk was known to colleagues for the sheer joy and excitement he found in his work, and that endless curiosity fueled a groundbreaking career that took him around the world many times over and lasted more than 80 years. From his position with Scripps Institution and his home base in La Jolla, Dr. Monk played an instrumental role in the founding of UC San Diego in 1960. He was elected to the National Academy of Sciences in 1956 and to the Royal Society of London in 1976. He was awarded the prestigious Guggenheim Fellowship three times. In 1983, he was awarded the President's National Medal of Science, the nation's highest award for lifetime achievement in scientific research. And until the very end, Dr. Monk was still conducting his research. In the latest chapter of his career, he turned his focus to the efforts of climate change, partnering with Pope Francis and the Dalai Lama to urge swift and decisive action. Dr. Monk's legacy lives on in so many ways, from his ideas and his groundbreaking research to the lasting success of Scripps Institution. Through every student, and let me tell you, young students, millennials, when he walked into the room, they were just mesmerized. Mesmerized. It was amazing. We could only hope, as elected officials and public servants, that people would look at us that way. Oh, well. He continued to work at UCSD and Scripps through two marine species named after him, down to the technology we use to help surfers, yes, surfers, find and catch the best waves. And of course, his memory lives on through his surviving family, his daughters, Edie and Kendall, three grandsons, Walter, Lucian, and Maxwell, and his spouse of today, Mary Coakley Monk. Colleagues, I hope you will join me in remembering the extraordinary life and these wonderful stories of Dr. Walter Monk. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Senator Atkins. What a distinguished career and extraordinary service to the people of our state. Any other adjourn in memories? Are there any others? Seeing none, and if there is no other business, Senator Atkins, the desk is clear.
Thank you so much, Madam President. What a long and productive week. We will reconvene not on Monday, but on Tuesday at 2 p.m. I look forward to seeing you then. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Senator Atkins. The Senate will be in recess until 3:30 p.m., at which time the adjournment motion will be made. We reconvene Tuesday at 2 p.m.